God's communication to us, we need to get everything out of the way that's going to block that. And it just so happens that it culminates right now as we study. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you give me the words today as we finish the Father's love. Lord, the Father's love is never finished. It continues in us forever. But in today's message, Lord, I just pray that we realize that we can walk in the Spirit. We can release the gifts that are within us. It is a choice that we make in response to a command that you give. Walk. Jesus said to the paralytic, get up and walk. And he says to us in the Spirit, our spirit man, get up and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Father, I pray that that's what happens today as you speak through me. Get me out of the way. Remove me, Father. Remove anything that would distract anybody in here today. And as, Father, we study your word and we move through, Father, what your heart is for us, I pray that we receive it on fertile soil and that there would be no obstruction for that which comes in to go out to those in our sphere of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we wrap things up with the Father's love, I pray that you've been able to understand just how Daddy feels about you, no matter where you are, whether you're in the pig pen, you know, miles away, you feel miles away, or whether or not you are, you know, right up on his lap, that you understand that the Father's love never changes because it's unconditional. Now, how it affects you and how you receive it and give it away will affect you through choices you make. But on his part, his love is forever. It's a forever love. It's an unconditional love. But there is an intimacy that God has desired since Adam and Eve, when he walked in the garden and he desired intimacy and they shut the door on it. And Jesus opened the door back to intimacy. And it's possible through and in Christ. So intimacy, if nothing else, if you remember today, God desires, yes, it pleases him to see faith in us. And that faith is increased through our intimate relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's not about the order of service. It's not about a lot of the things that we've developed through the thousands of years that have transpired since Jesus came. He came in an intimate relationship with his disciples and told them to go out and develop intimate relationships with regions to talk about the very same things and in the intimacy of God. And now it's our responsibility in our region, wherever God has placed you, to spread that intimacy to others, with God and with each other. So I'm going to talk about the key to intimacy as this final chapter in this series. A key to intimacy with God is simply this: walking in the light. Because God traffics in light. You want to find God? You want to get intimate with God? If you are in darkness, you are nowhere where God is. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. I want you to think about that. God is light. And when we get to heaven, the light will be shining and it will never be turned off. God moves. God traffics. God can be found. God can be expressed through. God can celebrate. God can take you through the darkest of your times and shed light. God is light. And it's where he is and where we need to be at all times. Though the sun may go down, remember, when darkness comes, it's just because the sun's on the other side of the planet that's spinning. The sun never stops shining. So when the sun's on the other side of the planet, the sun in you never has to stop shining. If we're in our mortal bodies, there's going to be night and day. There's going to be darkness. There's going to be those things in the natural. But in the spiritual realm, let there be light. He says, I am that I am, and I am light, and there is no darkness in me. And if you follow me, and if you obey me, all these blessings will run and overtake you. But if you disobey me and you walk in the darkness, then these things shall come upon you. And there's a laundry list in Deuteronomy of the things that'll happen. Now we're in a new age and a new dispensation, but there's still all stuff out there in the world that can come against us when we walk in darkness. I'm just letting you know that if you have any part in darkness, if you have a toe in darkness, if you have a foot in darkness, if you've got a leg in darkness, if anything is in darkness, God does not traffic there. Get it out and stay in the light. Satan, he traffics in darkness, which is what we call a moral state where one hides things, has secrets, and gives the enemy ground to traffic in your life. I'm going to repeat that. Darkness is a place where the enemy has the grounds to traffic in your life because the enemy exists in darkness. God exists in light. And today you're going to see where and what comprises some of that darkness. And listen, if it comes between the eyes and it hits you, be quick to repent. Slow to anger, right? Slow to wrath, but quick to repent. Don't get mad because God points out something in you that he wants out of you. Get happy. God is good. He's doing it for your benefit so that the blessings will run and overtake you. And you don't have to traffic in an area where you're not supposed to be driving in. Stay in the lane. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and don't be moved. Let those things that are within you be exposed to the light so that the darkness will fade away and all those things that our brother just talked about prophetically will begin to naturally come out of you, supernaturally. Does that make sense? It'll naturally come out of you supernaturally. Because there will be no obstruction. When you're driving, there will be no barriers and Bob's barricades. The road will not change. It will be smooth, says Jesus. It's narrow. You have to learn how to drive correctly, steer, keep your focus. Because he does say it is a narrow road that leads to life. But the what road is what? Wide for destruction. Darkness surrounds us in every place. But let your little light shine. Anywhere you go, you bring light into darkness. If you operate in the things of God. Because in him there is no darkness. But Satan, he traffics in darkness. And he gives, and you give that enemy, him and his demonic realm, that third of the angels that are down here that can speak into those airwaves, and you buy into it. Because what? He is the God of this world. So all the pleasures of this world that were designed to minister to your flesh. Think about it now. The world has designed itself, the television, the stores and everything is to appeal to you to go into that fleshly realm to get you stirred up and riled up to spend your time pleasing self. You're not of this world, but it surrounds you. So if you're not walking on that narrow road, which is the light, and expressing that light, all of these things that actually make the body feel better, and let me tell you something about your body, it isn't going with you. It's going back to dust. So no matter how much you can please it day by day, one day it can never be pleased anymore because all it's going to be is dust and ashes. You're a spirit that happens to live in a temporary body while you're on this planet to relate to the world in which you're in. But we're to relate in such a way as to bring the message of a better way, a greater place, heaven. That's the only reason you're left here, is so that God can be expressed through you to talk about a place that will be a place that will be forever. It's a place of light. So why waste time, spending time, pleasing something that's going back to the dust and trying to spend time in an area that is only going to hell? Yes, it feels good to do certain things, but what is God calling you to do? Good things or the more excellent things? Folks, darkness has no power over us once you turn the light on. I'm going to repeat it. Darkness has absolutely no power when you turn a light on. Anybody who walks into a room knows that when you turn the light on, there is no darkness. They cannot coexist. So why do we try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the spirit? Yeah, you're going to deny yourself a lot of the pleasures of this life. Gee, you might have to sacrifice a little bit. Jesus spent his entire time in a mode of sacrifice. He didn't even have a place to stay. He didn't even get himself a nice home, car. At times, they were scraping for food. He said, well, if we don't find it, at least we have spiritual food, right? I'm feeding off my Father. He's going to take care of me. Don't worry about it. We worry about so many things in this life that are fading and are temporary. And we participate in so many things in this life that are fading and temporary. And we fail to concentrate on those things that are eternal and that are of God. And if we did, we'd see a lot more blessing in our life. And some of the things that actually in this life minister to us, God's going to shower upon you just because he can. To give you that sweet, sweet rest that he promises. John 3, 19 to 21. This is the judgment. That the light has come into the world. And men, unfortunately, love the darkness rather than the light. For their deeds are evil. We get so used to the world that when we see the truth and we know what we're supposed to do and we know we're supposed to express the gifts, we just still get so occupied with the world that we fail to exercise and bring out the best, which was just prophesied and told to you 5 times over. You get absorbed in it. It says, unfortunately, the light's in the world, but we don't migrate to it like the bugs do. Even the insects know better. You turn on a light and you got every bug in the world coming to the light. Why? Because they're attracted to the light. What are you attracted to? That'll tell you where you are. For everyone who does evil hates the light. Of course they do. Because the light shines on what they're doing, and God made us so that we would get convicted. Out of sight, out of mind. So what do? We avoid it. We get habits. We get drugs and drunk and all these things so that our mind will go numb so that we don't have to think about those things that are being exposed or what we don't have. It hates the light. Evil will never like the light and does not come to the light for fear that the deeds, his deeds in this case, will be exposed. But he who practices, that means it becomes your lifestyle, not an occasional let's visit the light. He who practices the truth. Wow, did we say what about facts? The facts may be that you're walking in darkness right now. The truth is Jesus has provided a way for you out and into the light. And you know, at the end of the day and at the end of the sermon you're going to hear, it's just simply a choice. You have been given free will and a choice to choose light or darkness. But he who practices the truth comes to the light. Wow. So that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Wow. So now God's going to shine the light on what? All your past? So when you're repented of these sins and stuff like that, the Satan says, oh, you need to stay condemned because God's staying condemned. No. Kick that boy out and say, you're a liar. You've always been a liar. You are the father of lies. I have been converted. I am a new creature in Christ. It is remembered no more. It's as far as the east is from the west. I have come to the light, and God is manifesting those things of the light in and through me now. And I know who I am in Christ, and it's in a mirror image of him. And one day I'll look just exactly like him. But he who practices, so practice it in your lifestyle. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13. Okay, we're going to get there probably in about 3 months. Because we're going verse by verse starting next week. But this is part of Ephesians. For you were formerly darkness. Do you know you were born into darkness? But now you are the light in the Lord. You're not a light in and of yourself. So if you think that you're this big light that can go around and do all these things and in your own strength, forget it. You're a light in the Lord. Walk now. Since you are and you've been declared and he's prophesied over you, God has told you, you are children of light. Walk as children of light. Thank you. You can go ahead. Walk as children of light. It's not enough to just be pronounced children of light. It's like faith. I've got great faith, but I never exercise it. Faith without works is just dead. It's got no fruit. Oh, I'm filled and I'm overflowing, but then I become this big blurb of just full of things and never give any of it away. And God is so other-oriented that he would die on a cross for you. He didn't have to. He could have just stayed God and said, well, these unfaithful, dark people, let's start over and create something different. But he so loved you and the world that he sent the light into the world for you to become and touch the light. For the fruit of all light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what the light is. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10. Trying, listen, this is what we're doing. This is how we turn the light on. Trying to learn. I love that. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we learn what's pleasing to our spouse? Well, there's some things that you buy your spouse and she takes it and she goes, well, you know, thank you. Thank you. You know, you can read between the lines. You know, gesture was good. Like it, but, you know, don't really love it, right? Well, when we do things for the Lord, there are certain things where you know the Lord is pleased because the response is out of this world. And there's other things where he's just going, well done, good and faithful servant. And you know that you're walking in the way that you should walk. But there are certain things like faith that just really, really, really please him. So what am I saying? You know, you can do something and you can serve him, and that's a good thing. But boy, when you're exercising faith, it says that really pleases the Lord, right? We need to learn what pleases him. What about faith pleases him? It means you trust him in advance before whatever it is happens. The evidence of things not seen, hello, what is faith? Substance of things that are expected. See, it says the substance of things hoped for. That means expected. I'm expecting this to happen simply because the Lord said so. That's faith. Substance of things that are hoped for, expected. The evidence of things that aren't seen. Wow. I don't see it, but I know it's truth. Therefore, I know that I know that I know it will, and it is God. My eyes don't have to see it. Remember the song? I think it's It Is Well. My eyes don't have to see it to believe it, because my eyes are simply flesh. They're burning. You're not even going to have these eyes. What is he asking you to see with? Spiritual eyes. Not these guys. These guys are going to be, unfortunately, looking at the world and are going to veer you away. God says to look at things with a spiritual mindset, with the mind of Christ, with the eyes of the Spirit. I know that's kind of heavy spiritually for you, but you know, these fleshly bodies, if you let them remain in control, are never going to produce the gifts and or the fruit and or anything. But in Christ, all things are possible. You'll prophesy, you'll heal, you'll deliver, you'll do things that you could not normally do, because it takes a supernaturalness to do it, which only comes through Christ. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Get out of that darkness, folks. Make a decision today. I will not go there, but instead expose them. Yeah, it hurts to expose stuff. Yeah, it hurts to open up that wound and pour all that betadine or iodine or whatever. What is it, Bactine? Remember Bactine, folks? When I was a little kid, when that Bactine was headed my way because I scraped a knee, oh my God, no, don't put that on there. It was for my benefit. It exposes the germs. Expose your darkness, whatever it is. Get people in your life. Let them tell you freely without you crucifying them. They crucified Jesus for telling the truth. When your friend comes to you, please don't crucify them. Jesus was doing it for their benefit. They just didn't know it. I pray today you know it. For it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. See, darkness, if we go back here, it says it's a moral state where you hide things, have secrets. The things that are done in secret are done in secret. Why? Because they know that if it's exposed to the light, that there will be those moral people and truthful people that will hold them accountable. And some things are against the law, and you'll end up in jail. Today, there's lawlessness surrounding us, so darkness is just taking over, as Dan said. There's no moral restraint. There's not even a lawful restraint. It's lawlessness. It's been predicted. Darkness will cover the face of the earth, but the light will shine even brighter to those whom God has called. Yeah, let it be going faster, because I'm never going to get through this if I don't. But all things become visible when they are exposed to the light. Hello, common sense. For everything that becomes visible is light. Okay? So what God is saying here, he's not saying, well, everything the devil does is light. No, why? Because he does things behind the scenes. He's sneaking in your thought life. He's doing things undercover. Because if he came directly at you with a tail and a pitchfork and whatever and stuff like that, you'd be like, that's pretty easy decision. No way. But he didn't come to you that way. He comes to you in those moments in that darkness where you just go, oh, frog in a pot. So what are some of the areas in our lives where darkness can come in? How about unconfessed sin? If you haven't confessed your sin unto the Lord today, and you know you're in the midst of it and stuff like that, take time, walk right out of here now and go outside if you don't want to come up to the altar and do it and stuff like that. But if you have unconfessed sin, you know what? It's not worth being prideful enough to worry about what somebody's going to think about you. I mean, if I can stand here and tell you that I've never sinned and I'm not going to sin anymore, that'd be kind of foolish. I pray that I never sin anymore, but, you know, if I do, you'll see me up at the altar, and it'll probably be me talking to God, because there's something. Generally, when I'm at that altar, I'm up there as Lord, I'm confessing my sin to you. I want you to purge me of the unrighteousness that has tried to sneak its way into my life. I don't care if you see me do that. If you think I'm perfect, you'll be disappointed. Another area of darkness, well, Proverbs 28:13. Unconfessed sin, we talked about. He who conceals his transgressions, right? Unconfessed sin, and will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them, hello, compassion. Welcome, compassion. That's what God, Solomon said that. Another area of darkness that can get a foothold in your life is if someone disappoints you. Now, we're looking at areas where you're vulnerable. Let me put it that way. Where can darkness enter into your life? This is for your health. For those who took it the last 3 days, it's going to be almost like a review. Where can darkness come into your life? If someone disappoints you, you have a choice. You can forgive that person and realize and separate that person from their sin, saying, you know what, I've sinned in my life too. I know it. I'm going to give them a pass, like God's giving you one. Someone will disappoint you, you make a choice. Someone betrays you. That's a potential area for you. When someone betrays you, oh, yeah, well, you know what? Hey, they betrayed me. You're walking right into darkness as you start making those pronouncements. You know what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Choice. They've just betrayed you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or, oh, man, I'll never associate with them again. I'm not going back to that church. Pastor stepped on my big toe. If it was the little toe, I'd have stayed, but it was my big toe, and I'm leaving. What if somebody's speaking against you in the community? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Or, you know what? I'm not ever going to speak to that person again. And you know what? I'm gonna get in the paper. I'm going to write something. Come on. We got to start living like Jesus instead of like the world. This disappointment, betrayal, people speaking against you causes a response in you. And it's generally a dark one, initially. But don't let the anger go down on that. Because that's when it begins to what? Puss up. It becomes festering. And it moves into other spirits. Begin to move in. And the darkness gets darker. It can result in unresolved conflict, right? Darkness can move in with unresolved conflict in your life. If you've not resolved things and you got them hanging, oh, I'll get to it one day. I'm just not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. Get ready. Make a decision whether you like it or not. It'll catch up to you later. Unresolved conflict, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, or retaliation on your part. All of that is sin. No, it was the person who did it to me that sinned. Well, you've just sinned right back by retaliating in darkness. Sorry, But there's the one that did the damage. And you do damage right back because you're doing damage in the spirit realm to God, because God says, forgive him. Let judgment be up to me. I can deal with that person who's being spitting up against you. I can deal in their life. I've got an eternity to deal with them. You take this moment to reflect my son so that I can bless you. Darkness may also gain entry into your life when you begin putting up walls and you resort to hiddenness. Remember, darkness is hiddenness. Hiding things from God, hiding things from people. Oh, what will they say? Now, you have to use wisdom here. If you go into a church and or a place where people, supposedly there are Christians, if you expose yourself and confess your sins to one another like James tells us to do and stuff like that, and they take that and they make it public and they make a laugh at you, and then they begin to take positions away from you and act like religious Pharisees and Sadducees, then you know you're in the wrong place and you better get out of the darkness and into a church where they're seeing the light. This should be the safest place you come in your world, even above your family. Because you don't know who in your family is saved and not saved. And I'm not just talking about your spouse or your wife here. I'm talking about. Don't hide things from God and people when you know you're in a safe place. Because that's where God wants you to get rid of it, so that he can expose it to the light so that he can heal you. Whether it's deliverance, healing, salvation, you name it. Darkness cuts us off from fellowship with God. And that's the worst part of it all. Yeah, darkness separates us from people because we hide things from people, but you hide nothing from God. And when we get separated from God, and I'm not talking about losing your salvation, I'm just talking to you about losing that intimacy we started this whole conversation with. God wants an intimate relationship with you, and it will not be intimate if you hang out in darkness. You can't sit at the table of demons and the table with God. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we often do, and yet we walk in the darkness, and we often do, we lie. Well, there you go. And we do not practice. It's not a lifestyle. Truth becomes distant to us. We've lied so much, and we've hidden so much, and we've unconfessed so much. We get so, you know, it's not, you're not being convicted. You're being condemned by the devil. So you just hide in that place where it feels good to remove yourself from people, because you're not going to get it from people. You're not going to have the exposure. You're not going to have to work on anything. You're not going to have to change your lifestyle. That would be too traumatic for me. I like and enjoy what I'm doing and ministering to my body and my house and everything else. Well, enjoy it. Because it's fleeting and it's temporary. Let's not kid ourselves. You cannot sit, like I said, at the table with both God, who is light, and demons who represent darkness. One foot in the world and one in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:21. There it is. Can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You can't sit at the table with the Lord and the table of demons. Paul tells us flat out. Another way darkness can come into your life is from carrying shame from past immoral sins. How many times does the demons of darkness, Satan, who is the darkest of all, how many times does he want to, what, record everything you've done and then bring it right back up into your face when you begin moving in the light? He wants to get that light switch and go, nope, shut that thing down. God remembers what you've done. People remember what you've done. You are this immoral person that has done so much bad, you can't recover. Such a lie from the pit of hell. Scripture says it's as far as the east is from the west. Scripture says Jesus is in front of you. He's your mediator standing before God saying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They've repented. They're as clean as they can ever be. They're as loved as they're ever going to be. You can't be loved any more than you are right now, no matter where you are, in the pig pen or anywhere else. God's love is unconditional, and it's forever. So whether or not, even if people that are going to hell, God still loves them. He created them. But they choose darkness and move into a place where God is not. God still loves them, and he hates and he cries and grieves over man's choices to move in darkness rather than light. Because he's looking at his son, and they're rejecting the son. More ways than one, right? The light, the son. Oh, I'm never going to get done. It's the last one, but it's a closure to it. So hang with me. Don't carry shame. I just feel like I got to park it there because some of you are carrying your past immoral sins and they're still with you. It's time to give it up. If you're still participating in it, stop. Make a choice to stop and then just repent. It doesn't take light years, no pun intended. It just takes the light. And you confess your sins and God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means that you stand before Him when you come up to this altar and say, God, I'm done. I am no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. Your blood has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. But make sure you turn from that sin and don't go walking back into it. Otherwise, He's saying, why are you walking back into that dark room? You just walked into the light. Stay there. It's a nice place. You'll like it. If you feel a sense of uncleanness, you will feel too dirty to be close to God. If you carry that, and if you're feeling unclean, you're going to feel like you can never get close to God. He wants you to come to Him. He's got His arms open. That's just a picture, but it's, you know, picture the Lord in your own mind going, come to me, those who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If you've sinned, come, confess, repent, and I will give you refreshing. Don't let the accuser of the brethren come in and wreak havoc in your relationships in your life because you refuse to get rid of the uncleanness by simply confessing it and walking out of it. That's what He wants you to do. Hang in that darkness. Hide. Feel too dirty to come to God. Is anybody ever too dirty to come to God? Oh my gosh, no. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. No demon in hell, nothing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality. You've read it. Acts 3:19, repentance brings refreshing. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Wait a minute. You mean if I repent, all of that uncleanness goes away? Yes. Why? Why does it have to go away? So that God can come with His refreshing and, again, come from the presence of the Lord. His presence can now come into your life. The light will shine because you've removed that darkness. You got to get rid of the darkness, though. There's no easy way to tell you. You got to make a choice to say, darkness, you are no longer part of my life. I renounce you. I come against you in Jesus' name. It's as easy as it is. That's the easy part. The hard part is walking in the light just as I am in the light. You got to walk in it. You can't go back and turn the light switch off and say, I'm tired. I'm tired of walking in this goodness. I haven't seen God answer any of my prayers. I'm just going to shut the light off and go to sleep. Stay alert. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. He wants you to shut that light off. He wants you to turn your back on God because He hasn't shown up in your life. My God, why don't you recall the times that He already has? And how do you know why He's not waiting right now? It's because you got some things to remove. Amen. The solution, receive our Lord's forgiveness, walk out of the darkness you were hanging out in and turn to the light of God's way of life. That's the way it goes. He loves to refresh the faithful who turn to the light. And then, like I just said, if we abide, in other words, live in that light, that love, this will keep the light on. The light will not go off if you walk in the light and don't return to the switch, that trigger, that thing that had you put a foot into the world. When we focus daily on Father's loving nature, when we focus daily, on His nature, unhealed and dark areas in our lives will begin to be displaced by His grace. It's a supernatural thing. Natural for us, we have to walk out of what we're walking in, but then supernaturally, God just floods you with something that you can't explain to people who don't know God. They have no idea how good they can feel by walking out of darkness. They just don't. 1 John 4:6. No, we did that. God, again, if the devil, listen to me now, he is subtle. Well, let's go to 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. I hope you have. We've been preaching on it for the last 9 weeks. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. What does that make you? A love bug. Remember, the bugs go to the light. Now you're the love bug. You've gone to the light. And you are the light. Matter of fact, you're a lightning bug. But don't be like the lightning bug where your light shines just for a little bit and then it goes dark for a while. And then it shines again, okay? Then it's a bad analogy in that case. But keep the light on, okay? Folks, the enemy's tactics are to hinder us from abiding in his love. That's the way he is. One of his more subtle ways to do so is to use distraction. Uh-oh, here's another way in. Remember I was telling you about ways darkness comes in? Distraction. If he can get us distracted from seeking God first, and that's Eric's favorite verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you, right? I mean, you have it almost every week in prayer to be reminding us. Don't get distracted is what that's saying. If he can get us distracted from seeking God first and get us involved with just things, other things, whether they're good or bad, he wins. The enemy will win. Darkness will come in. We must focus on abiding in Christ. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's a promise from God. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. You're going to find rest for your souls. For my yoke, I will carry. I will pull the cart. I will pull it for you. You don't have to labor behind it. You don't have to be the oxen. I'm the oxen for you. I'm plowing the ground ahead of you. Plant some seeds. Then I'll water it and you'll watch a harvest greater than you've ever seen before. But you got to cast it upon me. I've plowed the ground for you. Now cast your seed in good places, in places where there's light and there's water, the water of the Holy Ghost, and watch things just blossom spiritually in your life. My yoke is easy, my burden, it's light. If you're tired and worn out and your walk with him is heavy, you're doing it in the natural realm. Walking in the Spirit will determine whether we live in a life of abiding in his love or not. The only thing that will determine whether we're abiding in his love is if you're walking in the Spirit. Folks, we are created for God to flow through us. Yes. You were created for God to flow through you. You were never supposed to be a dam. No pun intended. You weren't. You're not to be constipated in the Spirit. You've got to let the Spirit of God move as we just did today. And this is what we did today. Let him move through you. Whatever is there, it's like, well, should I say this? Should I not say this? Stuff like that. If it came to your spirit and it's of God and it agrees with the Word of God, share it. You don't know. One person might benefit. But you got to have an atmosphere for it. You got to allow it to happen. You can't just have an order of service and expect that things are going to happen supernaturally when God's not even invited in to move through you. He's not impressed with what you can do, how great you can sing and how good I can preach or what it is, stuff like that. That's not about that. God, I mean, can you really impress God that way? There's some really good speakers that are already gone on to be in heaven that he's pretty much impressed with and top that one, right? No, he's saying, look, I can get you at that level by just moving through you. You let me move through you and you'll preach like you never have before. You let me through you and you'll give like you never have before. You let me move through you and I'll administrate through you like you've never administrated before. You have no idea what I can do through you. I can do all things. I can do anything. My God can do anything. He's not limited by our capacity. He is infinite in scope. Man, I keep preaching and getting off the thing here. Okay, I got to get back on this thing. Sometimes you can't help it. I got to help it, though. Okay. We were created for God to flow through us. We were created to do God things. We weren't created to just do all the natural things we do in life every day. Eat, drink, go to work, do that. We were created to do God things. Laying hands on the sick, seeing the dead raised, doing all that stuff. If that passed away with the apostles, what are we for? To read the Bible, feel good, go to church on Sunday, go through an order of service, and then make our way to heaven one day when he comes? I don't think so. God's wanting to change and to see more and more people come into the kingdom of God and for us to go and show. Go and show. Show you? No. Show the Holy Spirit? Yes. Revealing God? Yes. Do God things. Let them flow through you. Let me finish this series of messages again with learning how to process it. I'll finish with how we process it because I got to move on. I got to get to the end of it here. Okay, how do we process it? In other words, how do we consistently receive God's love and give it away? How do we do it? It involves discontinuing the accumulation of ungodly beliefs and habit structures of thinking that we form from all of life's experiences. I'm going to say that again because it's kind of long. We do it by discontinuing, it's really for your health, it's discontinuing the accumulation of ungodly beliefs and habit structures of thinking. That's the first place you get in trouble with. Instead of letting God think through you, you're thinking. You're being cerebral. It has to make sense to you in order to be real. And the supernatural is just as and more if real than anything else in your life. But it doesn't make sense to you. Okay? We got to get to that place where God's free to move through your brain down into your heart and to get to your hands and feet and let him come through you so that your spirit man is in control. Got to get that mind, logic, reasoning out. The Pharisees had a huge, huge problem with that. But I've read it and I believe it and it's up here in my head. And now that you're coming to make a heart change, I like all of the things that have been stored in my head. Let your heart be open. He can shape it and mold it to the very image of Christ. It involves the accumulation of ungodly beliefs and habit structures of thinking that we have formed from all of life's what? Experiences. You can't give what you don't have. You only know what you know from whatever you've already known. Right? New revelation doesn't come when you sit home and you sit and you just stand on, this is what I believe and that's how I'm going to believe for the rest of my life. It's not new to you anymore. Holy Spirit has no way of breaking through if it's not according to the Word of God. Or if it's something that He wants to do new in your life. Why are we containing God? This book doesn't contain half of what Jesus did. It's what we go by. We can't add to it or take away from it. But all the other things that are done are in accordance with what already has been written. So it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit can't come to you and say, this is what I'm going to do fresh and anew in your life, as long as it agrees with Scripture. But sometimes we close the book, and we're not open to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Yes, He speaks to us through the Scriptures, but He can speak to you in night visions and dreams. That's how He did with Paul. That's what He did with Abraham. That's what He did with Jacob. That's what He did, right? Look at Stephen. I saw the heavens open and Jesus, the right hand of the Father. And he was so happy that when he was being stoned, he just passed out. And then he was with Jesus. All of life's experience have structured you into habits of thinking. But you've got to choose to walk by the Spirit in your true identity in God. You got to separate that which is of you in the flesh from that which is of God. And the only way you can do that is, yes, study God's Word. Yes, to be prayer and prayer and constant prayer and intimacy with God so you hear the voice and the rhema of God clearly. That's how you do it. You replace the old with the new. Your old way of thinking with the new way of thinking. God's way of thinking. You have God's DNA. The real you has God's DNA inside of you. It's not a matter of receiving more love. It's a matter of what's already inside getting out. It's not even a matter of receiving more knowledge. It's a matter of allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal that more knowledge in you so it can get out. Everything that you're capable of ever doing is right inside in the Holy Spirit, ready to release the energy, its potential energy. You make it kinetic. You make it active. You move it. God said, for who to move the mountain? You. Now, did he think that you could do that in your own strength? No. And when he's talking about the mountain analogy, whatever circumstance that seems like a mountain in your life, it can be moved by the power of the Holy Ghost within you. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God, listen, no one who's born of God, in other words, born again, practices sin. Now understand in that word, when we study it and we go back to its roots, it means that is a lifestyle. That is what you do. It's because that's what I do. You're not even having any thoughts of repentance. This is part of what my life is all about. I practice sin. I love practicing. You know, if you're getting ready to play a baseball game, what do? You practice, 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 practice. Well, if you enjoy sin so much that that's all you do and you practice it, it's a lifestyle. You who are born of God, if you're practicing sin, that means, hey, my son died because I know that, you know what, the tendency is you're going to sin every once in a while. You're going to be forgiven if you repent because you hate the very thing you do. Paul will go into it, and I'm not going into that. Paul says, I hate the very thing I do. That meant Paul was still sinning, but he hated it. It wasn't a lifestyle. It wasn't in him to want to do these things. But if it is in you to want to do these things, and it's a part of a lifestyle, and you're practicing it, then you better think twice about whether you're truly saved or not saved. No one who's born of God, he says, no one who's born again practices sin because his seed abides in him. You got the Holy Spirit. Somewhere in there, conviction must be taking place. Somewhere in there, you got to see the light. Somewhere in there, there's a fruit that needs to be squeezed. Yes. He cannot sin. Holy Spirit's not going to do it. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to. It's when we step outside of the Spirit, we walk in the flesh that we sin, but praise God for Jesus Christ, he forgives us because he knows it's not our lifestyle. Can you connect that now? No one who's born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. It doesn't mean you're not going to sin, but you're not going to practice it. It's not a lifestyle anymore. You're a new creation. And so when you don't, you get by God. Consequences come to your life. You don't lose your salvation. He just spanks you. Anybody been spanked by God? Because you keep doing the very thing that you hate, but you don't get out of it right away. You're a family. He loves you. You're still a son. You're in the pig pen, but you're a son. He was waiting for him to come back. He knew he would. For those of you that's once saved, always saved, he knew you would. God does know whether you would or not. The problem is, you don't know that. Because you're not all-knowing. So you better get it changed. Unfortunately, most of us have been snowed in, if you will, through hurts and betrayals and disappointments and rejections. So darkness has got a little bit of a foothold in you. When I say snowed in, that means that, you know what, tunnel vision. You know, you've been hurt so much, you've been betrayed so much, you've been disappointed so much, and you've been rejected so much that it's really difficult to get out. You've been snowed in, right? You need a little help from your friends. Hence why the church is here. Hence why For Your Health is here. Hence why your pastor and your elders and each other are there for you. Praise God. What do people do without brothers and sisters in Christ that are willing to help? I don't know what the world does. It relies on everything else. It's passing away, I guess. Walking in the Spirit is a walk that has punched its way through and burned off much of the issues of the soul. I'll say it again. Walking in the Spirit is a walk that has punched its way through and burned off much of the issues of your soul that you're struggling with, where the love of God that's within you can now get out to yourself first, because, right, you can't give what you don't have. You got to receive God's love before you can give it away. There's nothing more natural in your life than for spiritual power to flow out of you. Boy, that should have got an amen. There's nothing more natural in your life than for spiritual power to flow out of you and peace to flow out of you and rest to flow out of you and love to flow out of you. Why? It abides in you. And if you abide in it, it should flow out of you. If you go up to a river and there's fish in the river and stuff like that, you should expect to catch a fish. He lives there. He's hungry. You got a line, I get a pole. No, that's it. Jesus help us. You know we're getting to the end now when I start singing. And if I'm not at the end, be at the end, Scott. I'm just trying to let you know that the one who created the universe lives within you. You have potential power. He is your source. He is the one who works and is in through you. You just have to yield and get out of the way and turn the light on and walk that straight and narrow road. Folks, the third world countries, and you can all witness to this, third world country, it's amazing how people are able to reach again from the natural realm into the spiritual realm and pull the spiritual realm into the natural realm. If you go to a third world country, it's so easy for people to pull that spiritual realm down into the natural realm. That's what God designed us for. And they don't have religion. Unfortunately, sometimes they don't even have knowledge or the knowledge of God. But, this is why we hear about so many miraculous healings in these places. Cripples begin to walk, dead being raised, limbs growing out, blind receiving sight. And they're not rare events. Why? Why overseas and not here in the States? From the time that they are born, they are taught the reality of the spiritual realm. We don't do that anymore in this country. We don't raise our kids flooded in the spiritual. We're throwing the natural at them every which way but loose. They are taught, those third world country people, that they rely upon in that spiritual realm. Unfortunately, now here's the unfortunate part. Many times they see it in a demonic way. So they're dealing. They know the supernatural realm. So when they're operating, a lot of them are operating in the demonic realm. When they come to the light, it's an easy transition to say, well, if it was operating in miraculous ways in the demonic realm, I can do the very same thing, even greater in God's realm. Right? Our spirit man is who we really are. It should flow because we are predominantly spirit. Our biggest hindrance to living in the spirit is taking our outward man and trying to make him spiritual. Our biggest hindrance to living in the spirit is taking our outward man, our brain and our hands and our feet and what we know, and trying to make him spiritual. This becomes rules, traditions, religion. That's what we do to make us spiritual. We think making us spiritual means we gotta stick to religion and tradition and the rules. So in conclusion to this series on the Father's love, how do we live from our spirit and find rest for our soul? What did I tell you in the beginning? The answer was going to be? It's a choice. So if you remember nothing else from today, you want to move out of darkness and into light. You want to live in the spirit and not in the flesh. You want the Father's love to just shower you so much that you have enough to give away. Make a choice to step into the light. And I guarantee you, God will meet you there and he will not disappoint you. And you will have an intimate relationship with God if you walk and you live and you abide in the light. Daily. Why did I say that? It's a daily choice. It's a pretty profound answer, isn't it? The answer to the whole thing we talked about today. It's a choice. And it's a daily choice to agree with what the Word God says about you. It's that simple. And I say daily because you know what? When you wake up the next day, Satan's on the prowl. He's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy whatever has been planted within you. Our identity is in Christ and his unconditional love. That's who we are. So tell that outer man to be quiet. Return to living in the spirit, which is the real you, and believe it. Make the choice today to dwell in Father's unconditional love and embrace. We began this series with the question, how do you measure how close you are to God? The answer is, it never changes. You are God's home, and he created you to dwell in his loving embrace.